Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. The Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." This is the Lord speaking. Let's read it out. Let's read verse 3 together. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It says, "Thou shalt not make any unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Don't make any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Everybody say, "them that hate me." That's a key in that scripture, that the iniquity of the fathers is visited to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, that hate God. "And showing mercy," everybody say mercy, "not just to the third and fourth generations, but mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Psalm chapter 93, verses 3 to 10. It'll be on the screen. The Bible says, let's turn there in your Bibles. Psalm chapter 93, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves." David's crying out. He's saying, "God, I don't know what to do. It feels like I've been flooded." Anybody ever felt like that? Anybody ever had feelings where it felt like you were being overcome and flooded? David had that feeling. He says, "The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves." Verse 4 says, and I think we could put a but in there. "Although the floods have lifted up their voice, although the floods have lifted up their waves, but the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waves, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea." God is mightier than any flood. God is mightier than any wave that might seem to overcome us and overtake us. We can take courage in that God is God up in the heavens. He's God here on earth. He's God on the good days. He's God on the bad days. Amen. The Lord on high is mightier than all the noise of many waters. Amen. Thank you, musicians. You can sit down. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Lord Jesus, help faith to come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Open up our spiritual ears, Lord, to what you would say to us. Lord, reprove, correct, Lord, instruct in righteousness today through the preaching of your word. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the church says amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to speak tonight on this thought. I want to speak about an idol. We talked about idols in Exodus chapter 20, but I want to talk about an idol called emotions. Turn to your neighbor and say, "An idol called emotions." An idol called emotions. Brother David, rightfully, as I called out Exodus 20, Brother David told us very quickly that we were going to read from the Ten Commandments, and yes, we did. In fact, Jesus himself, as I believe Brother Kent ministered ministered about how we ought to love God and love people. And Jesus restated that commandment from the Ten Commandments when he was asked, "What is the greatest commandment of all?" And that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Love God, love people. But in this scripture that we read in Exodus 20, God doesn't just tell them not to worship idols. He clarifies it and he tells us how we can know if we are worshiping an idol. He says this. He says, "You can recognize the idols in a person's life by those that they bow down to them and they serve them." An idol is something that we bow down to. An idol is something that we serve. An idol is something that controls us. Before I go any further, there's a portion of this scripture in Exodus 20 that some like to say talks about generational curses. And maybe you've heard about generational curses, and people have based their whole ministry on what they call a generational curse. They say that God is a jealous God and visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Some would say that it doesn't matter if you've been born again or even, but there are generational curses that can come on you from the sins of your forefathers. I would say that once you are born again, there is no curse on you anymore. In fact, the fact that you were born again, you might have come and been born into one family tree. Yes, but when you are born again, you're born again into a new family tree. You're born again into the family of Jesus Christ. And those curses have no power on you. The Bible says, in fact, in Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14, and we're here at the communion table, that Christ has redeemed us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from the curse. He was made a curse for us. It says, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, there's a new blessing coming down the tree. There's the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles in our flesh, but that means that there is no curse on you just because you're finding it hard in your life. But this scripture about idolatry, archaeologists throughout all of the years have found, they have found evidence in every single culture throughout history, evidence of statues of gods and goddesses, things that people have worshipped through every generation. I don't know what it is, but mankind has this misguided desire to turn things, to turn people, to turn objects, to turn ideas into things that we worship. We've got some brothers and sisters here today from India. And in India, there are literally thousands of gods, statues and things made to worship. But archaeologists have found in every culture that mankind for some reason has this desire to take something or take some idea or take some person and set them up as God. But the Bible says, our God says we must not do that. We are not to have idols in our life. We are not to bow down and serve anything other than Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen tonight? Amen. Out of 613 laws in the Old Testament, in the Torah, more than 50 of them are prohibitions of idolatry. What is an idol and what is idolatry? You see, idolatry is anything that takes the focus off God and puts the focus on something else. When anything besides God becomes first in my life, then I have made it an idol. Even if it's good. It doesn't have to be a bad thing to become an idol. It can be a good thing, but in the wrong place in your life. Anything that takes the focus of God. You see, an idol, an idolatry is making a good thing, even the ultimate thing. And so today, we think about cultures that have all of these statues and things like that. But and today, we have more complex idols. Things like money, things like sports, things like cars. Even our own appearance can become an idol. Entertainment, even affirmation. This is one thing that seems to be prevalent in our culture, is the affirmation addiction, where people have made an idol of their own affirmation, putting the other people's opinions of themselves over God's opinion of us. And you can see it play out in social media, of course, when people are wanting to get likes and wanting to get comments and wanting to get follows because it's affirmation. I tell you, we don't need to get our affirmation from the world. We are a child of God. Amen. We are a children of the King. We don't need the world to affirm us. And so all these things, money, sports, cars, our appearance, entertainment, even affirmation, we could put a pretty face on each of these because they're not bad things. But they are subtle idols that can creep into our life. Good things, they are, yes. Of course, we can say, what's wrong with money? Everybody needs money to survive. What's wrong with sports? What's wrong with a little entertainment? What's wrong with a car? What's even wrong with affirmation? After all, it's good to know. It's good to be encouraged here and there. But idols are things that control our life. We've got to be careful that the good things don't become the ultimate things. You see, God is what needs to be ultimate in our life. He needs to have the first place in our life. And anything else that sneaks into that first place has become an idol. Everybody say an idol. And so what about emotions? What about our emotions? How can an idol, how can our emotions be an idol? Our feelings, how can they be an idol? You see, very often in our life, if we're not careful, our emotions can overcome us and we can find ourselves, as it were, bowing down and serving our feelings and our emotions. What are emotions? God created us with emotions. Emotions are good things. We were created with emotions. Emotions are those feelings on the inside which cause pain. They're feelings on the inside that can also cause pleasure. But these emotions, they are there. They try to move you. Your emotions are trying to move you in a certain direction. Now, as I was preparing this message, I thought, I wonder what it would be like if humans had no emotions. Have you ever met somebody that's just really kind of just, you know, you never know whether they're happy or sad. They're just straight, flat. That's interesting. I've met people like that. They can control their emotions. They never experience real sadness. They never experience complete jubilation. In fact, my friend recently had a baby, and he's one of those guys. He just, his emotions always just like this. He goes, you know what, Jono? He goes, I even felt like maybe I was going to cry. I said, well, did you cry? He said, no. I'm happy. But he's one of those guys you can never tell. You know, he could win $1 million. He wouldn't even crack a smile. His emotions are just like that. So what would it be like? God created us with emotions. But what would it be like if we were capable of controlling all of those emotions? God created us emotional beings. We feel love. We feel happiness. We feel joy. We also feel guilt and anger and disappointment and fear. And sometimes our emotions, they are a good experience. They are pleasant. And sometimes our emotions are not a pleasant experience at all. Sometimes our emotions, listen carefully, sometimes our emotions are grounded in truth. That way, the way we are feeling is the truth. And sometimes our emotions are not grounded in truth. In fact, our emotions are the complete opposite to the truth. Does anyone ever know what I'm talking about? That the way we're feeling doesn't always line up with what is true. What I've come tonight to tell you is that we must not allow our emotions to rule our life. We must not allow our feelings to rule our life, because when we allow our emotions to take that place where we are serving our emotions, as it were, when we are bowing down to our emotions, we can make an idol out of our emotions. We can make an idol out of our feelings. Now, I was talking with Brother Jason's brother a couple of weeks ago about this thought, about emotions, and he said something to me. He said, you know, Jonathan, you know, Ben's like this. He says, Jonathan, most people don't think, they just feel. And I thought, you're right. That's true. Most people these days don't think anymore. They just feel what is right. And that's why it's a lot of the crazy ideas that we have going on in the world, even in politics right now, even in our social world, we have all these crazy ideas because people have stopped thinking. And they start feeling, they have an attitude that says, well, if it feels right, then it must be right. Emotions, feelings, they can be, if we can be controlled by our emotions, we will do anything, even if it's wrong, even if it's false. You've only got to listen and just stop this week as you walk into the shopping center, or you walk into a doctor's surgery, or wherever you go, just stop and listen. You will almost in every place, you will hear music. Especially in the shopping center. Yeah, you hear music everywhere you go. In fact, in the shopping center, it's normally joyful and happy music because they know if they can make you feel joyful and happy, then you're going to spend more money in their shop. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In fact, advertisers know this so well that they say that it's not the content of the ad that matters, it's the way the ad makes you feel. I've even seen like tests where people put something on. It can be the craziest story, but they put sad music to it and people start, isn't that sad? Like, what's sad? It's not even a sad story. The music is sad. And marketers and all that, they say, you know, it doesn't matter what the content of the ad is, as long as we can generate a feeling. Because if we can generate a feeling, they know that we don't think anymore. We go by our feelings. So if they can generate a feeling and they can make us feel things, then they can control our behavior. And that's why music is used to sell. Music is an emotional thing. God made it that way. And so the world tries to control our emotions because they know if they can control our emotions that they will control our behavior. Critical thinking is something we need to get back to. Not just feeling our way through decisions, not just feeling our way through life, but getting back to critical thinking, being able to identify what is right and what is wrong and differentiating that from the emotional responses that we're having. You've got to be able to take a step back from your emotions and your feelings and say, what is right and what is wrong? Because very often critical thinking these days is bypassed, even in politics. Critical thinking is bypassed. They're all looking to generate a feeling, trying to generate some sort of feeling with a certain party so they can control our behavior. Let me tell you today that you may not have made an idol of the devil. You may not have made an idol of some foreign god or some golden statue, but I've come to warn you today that many of us, what we find in our life, you might not have even realized it till tonight, but we can make an idol out of our feelings. We serve God based on what we feel. Our praise for God is based on what we feel. If I'm feeling it, I'll praise God. If I'm not feeling it, well, you're lucky you got me at church, God. But let me tell you, your emotions may be up and down like a roller coaster, but God never changes. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. I am the God of all creation on your bad day. I'm the God of all creation on the good day. I'm large and I'm in charge. It doesn't matter what you go through, God is in control. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. It's forever settled in heaven. The risk we face when we make an idol out of our emotions is that we discard the word of God. We discard the truth of God's word and we make an idol of our emotions. And when we make an idol out of our emotions, we open up ourselves to being deluded, deceived, because we are following our emotions. Emotions aren't a bad thing. In fact, emotions, I'm glad we've got emotions. They're a good thing, but they're not the ultimate thing. We've got to be careful of the idol called emotions. In fact, much of the moral decay we see in our society today is because of the idolatry of emotions. The idea that what feels right is right, regardless of what the Bible says. There seems to be no moral absolutes anymore. There's no moral right and wrong anymore. People even say things, well, what is right for you might not be right for me, and what is wrong for you may be right for me. It all depends on how we feel. And so we've got to watch out for the idolatry of emotions. God designed our emotions, and listen carefully, God designed our emotions to be gauges, not to be guides. To be gauges, not to be guides. Our emotions are supposed to report to us, not dictate our lives. We've got to be careful when we get to the point where we find ourselves being controlled by our emotions. You see, godly reasoning identifies what is right. It identifies what the Word of God says. Godly reasoning identifies what God would want us have to do. And godly reasoning says, I'm going to make my emotions line up with the Word of God. Because God is number one. Our emotions are down the list somewhere. We've got to bring our emotions back into submission to God. We've got to bring our emotions back into the right place in our life. Yes, they are there. They are there as a gauge. They're not there as a guide. We've got to get our eyes and our mind back into the Word of God and make this the premier thing, the ultimate thing, the most important thing in our lives. Because if you make an idol out of your emotions, you're going to be deceived. You're going to go down the wrong path. You're going to fall into bitterness. You're going to fall into unforgiveness. You're going to fall into lust. Why? You can fall into adultery, fornication. Why? Because you followed the idol of emotion. We often don't think of this, do we, as an idol? But all of us at some time or other in our life can say, you know what, Pastor? Sometimes I feel like I'm just following my emotions. That my life is dictated and guided by the way that I feel. The way I feel. The world says if it feels right, then do it. Some people say, well, why can't we just go with the culture? If it feels right, then do it. Why can't we just go with the culture? Well, let me tell you why we can't just go with the culture. Because it was just going with the culture that got 6 million Jews exterminated in World War II. They were all just going with the culture. It was the culture of the day to exterminate Jews. And so if we're not careful, if we follow the culture of the day, even the culture that says if it feels right, then do it, then we can find ourselves getting away from the absolute truth of God's word. And only God knows what sort of mess we'll find ourselves in when we live the way the culture lives. So we need to determine what's right, and we need to call our feelings. Come here, feelings. This is what is right. This is what God's word is right. This is what God wants me to do. Come here, feelings. Come here. I want to tell you, we're not doing what you want to do. We're going to do what God's word wants to do. The Bible tells us we got to get our head and our heart and our attention into the word of God. Find out what the word of God says, and then line up your heart with the word of God. Tomorrow you get to practice this. Tonight you get to practice it. In fact, every day we wake up, we've got a choice that we can make. Am I going to follow God's word? Am I going to react to circumstances in life based on my emotions? Let me tell you where emotions will get you. All of us know what it's like to wake up early on a Monday morning and to know we have to go to work. Is that right? Yeah. And if you were to follow your emotions, Brother Bill, tomorrow morning when you wake up at 6 o'clock and you're going to go to work, and you were to follow your feelings, are you going to feel like going to work?
Nope.
No. So, based on my feelings and doing whatever feels right, I'm just going to stay in bed. I'm going to not just press the snooze button, I'm going to pull that thing out of the wall. I'm going to pull the doona up. I'm going to go back to sleep. And the boss rings up, he says, hey, Billy, where are you today? He goes, I didn't feel like coming. You what? Well, there's no reason. I just didn't feel like it today. He goes, well, I don't feel like you got a job here anymore. I don't feel like paying you anymore. See, that's where your feelings will get you, if you follow your feelings. All of us know what it's like in our human realm. You know, if we don't feel like eating healthy, we suffer the consequences of an unhealthy lifestyle. If we don't feel like exercising, we suffer the consequences. And the same thing applies in our spiritual life. We cannot make an idol out of our emotions. I know it's not rocket science tonight. I know we haven't studied the whole Bible, and maybe this is just a little bit simple for you, but I believe God would say to us that we've got to be careful of making an idol out of our emotions. In fact, the Bible says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control means to control my emotions. How? By being filled with the Spirit. When we are led by the Spirit, when we are filled with the Spirit, we've got to continually be filled. We've got to be filled. Every time we come to the house of God, you can be refilled and refreshed in the Spirit. And you know what that does? It puts the emotions at bay because we're filled with the Spirit. There's no room when you're filled for anything else. And so when you are led by the Spirit, when you have the Spirit of God, you can have that fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. As I finish Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, remember this. This is our scripture for the week. Be encouraged by this. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath and underneath. Not at the top, not on the mountaintop, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He's not just God at the top. He's also God underneath. He's God at the bottom. It doesn't matter what I go through. It doesn't matter what feelings I have. It doesn't matter what emotions I have, whether they're high or whether they're low. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath my life are the everlasting arms. Underneath my circumstances are the everlasting arms. Underneath my family are the everlasting arms. Underneath my ministry are the everlasting arms. Underneath this church are the everlasting arms. When I'm feeling as low as I possibly can go, the scripture tells me that he's not just God at the top, but he's also God at the bottom and underneath. As low as you can go, underneath that are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. He's God at the bottom. He's God when our emotions are telling us everything to the contrary. God is always with us. Doesn't matter what you feel, God is in charge. He is Lord of our lives. And sometimes we've got to pull ourselves aside. Everyone say, pull myself aside. Talk to yourself. Grab yourself by the ear and say, hey, Sonny, just practice what you preach. We've got to learn to say that and say, you know what? Underneath are the everlasting arms. I feel really low right now, but God is with me. The same Jesus that was with those three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Yes, the same Jesus is with us. And so, God is for me. Then who can be against me? Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Old Edward Mote wrote the old song. He said, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other is sinking sand. If you're going to get caught up in your emotions and your feelings, it's going to be nothing but sinking sand. But on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And Jesus himself had emotions. The Bible says that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our sicknesses, our feelings. He's touched. He knows what it's like because Jesus was fully God and fully man. He was God when he walked on the water. And he was man when he walked beside the water. He was man when he hungered and thirsted. But he was God when he fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. He was man when he prayed, but he was God when he answered prayer. You see, God knows what it's like. The Bible says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We know that when he knew he was going to go to the cross, he prayed this prayer. He said, if it be possible, let this cup from me. You know what Jesus was saying? He's saying, I don't really feel like doing this. If it's possible, can we get around this? Is there some other way? But then Jesus gave us one of the greatest examples of how we should respond when our feelings come and say to do otherwise. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Nevertheless, not my feelings, God, but I'm putting my trust in you. We've got to be so careful of the idolatry of emotions. Let's all stand here. We're going to come to the communion table.